Are you excited to be in the house of the Lord? I would like you to turn to your neighbor, the person sitting next to you. High five them. Tell them Jesus is in the house. Amen. I don't know about you, but I woke up this morning. I woke up early and I really, really had a desire to come here so that we can worship the Lord together. Praise be to Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm excited to be in the house, and it's good to see all of you. Some of you have not seen for quite for some weeks, but we are going to give you a chance to greet us and tell us how it has been. So without further ado, I would like us to welcome Steve Morolli, who is one of us, to come and share the word of the Lord. Actually, he used to be a pastor in Kenya and a friend of mine, and many of you have been blessed by his ministry. And so he's going to come and give us the word of the Lord. Can we welcome him with a hand? Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. God is good. I just want us to go before God just as you are seated and just let your heart be before God. Just talk to the Holy Spirit and just let him inspire in you. Just tell him, speak to me. Touch me. You know, after Jesus left to, he went to heaven, he said, I'll leave you a helper who is the Holy Spirit. And I want us to engage him this afternoon and just tell him, Holy Spirit, be with us. Just talk to him, Holy Spirit, how loving you are, how sweet you are. We let you move in this place. We open our hearts. We open our spirit. We open our inner being. We open our whole self. We open ourselves unto you that you may speak, that you may touch us. Holy Spirit, touch us. Give us a new beginning. Refresh us this morning. We ask you to take control of our lives this hour. In Jesus' name. Father, once again, we commit ourselves unto you. We commit our mind, our bodies, our souls, and our spirit unto you, that you may move, that you may work in us in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, take the preeminence in everything that we do. Speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. I want us to go straight to the word of God in the book of Genesis, chapter number 3 and verse 7. The book of Genesis, if you want to get it, you close the Bible, then you open some few pages, you'll be able to get it. 3 and verse 7. And I'll still go to 1 Samuel, chapter number 30. The Bible says, in Genesis chapter 3, the Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt, and I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers. And I am concerned about their suffering, so I have come down to rescue them from the hands of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land into a good and spacious land, and a land flowing with milk and honey. 1 Samuel chapter 30. The Bible says in the book of 1 Samuel, it's quite a long scripture, but I don't know whether Purity is here. I want to read from 1 Samuel chapter 30 from verse number 26 all the way to from verse 9. All the way to 26.
came to the Vessel Valley, where some stayed behind. 200 of them were too exhausted to cross the valley, but David and the other 400 continued the pursuit. They found an Egyptian in a field and brought him to David. They gave him water to drink and food to eat, part of a cake of pressed figs and 2 cakes of raisins. He ate and he was revived, for he had not eaten any food or drunk any water for 3 days and 3 nights. David asked him, "Who do you belong to? Where do you come from?" He said, "I'm an Egyptian, the slave of an Amalekite. My master abandoned me when I became ill 3 days ago. We raided the Negev of the Kereshites, some territory belonging to Judah, and the Negev of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag." David asked him, "Can you lead me to this raiding party?" He answered, "Swear to me before God that you will not kill me or hand me over to my master, and I will take you down to them."
Jump to verse 11. Mm-hmm. That's 15, sorry. I got to verse 11. Yeah, verse 11.
They found him in a field and brought him to David.
Underline the word, brought him to David. Let's now go back to where we were.
He led David down, and there they were, scattered over the countryside, eating, drinking, and reveling because of the great amount of plunder they had taken from the land of the Philistines and from Judah. David fought them from dusk until the evening of the next day, and none of them got away, except 400 young men who rode off on camels and fled. David recovered everything the Amalekites had taken.
Underline the word, recovered all.
Had taken, including his 2 wives. Nothing was missing, young or old, boy or girl, plunder or anything else they had taken. David brought everything back. He took all the flocks and herds, and his men drove them ahead of the other livestock, saying,
"Amen." Now, this very afternoon, I want to speak on a message, recovering the lost cloud. Most of the time, God gives us some clouds, but situations happen and we lose them, and we assume that that's the way it's supposed to be. We may be somewhere spiritually, we may lose that spiritual touch, and we are just okay with it. And like I know we have ever talked about it, or people speaking here or whatever, and like we were powerful home, spiritually packed home, but when we come here, we were in a certain level spiritually, we lose it, but we are just okay with that level we are in. And we just comfort ourselves. We may lose some clouds in our families. When I believe when God joins a man and wife, he is not joining them to separate, but he is joining them to live together. And situation come, and the ground and what God had given them, they lose it, and the enemy come and comfort us and just let us feel like it's the way it's supposed to do, to be. In other words, you know, the situation, you know, this and this, it looks so obvious that it was supposed to happen. We may lose grounds in business. We may lose grounds in any corner of our lives. But I want you to understand, according to the plan of God, he always have a second chance. And he has a plan that we are supposed to take back what the enemy has stolen from us. And if you go back to the book of Exodus, God is speaking to Moses when Moses saw the burning bush. And he is telling Moses, then Moses is looking at his father's cow, sheep and whatever, and he saw the burning bush. And when he approached, God spoke. And he told him, I want you to go back to Egypt. And I want you to do something. Deliver my people that they can go back. Now, I want you to understand something. The land of Canaan was not a new land to the people of Israel. This was not a new land that God is giving them. In fact, it is the original land that God gave Abraham. Remember, when God called Abraham, he told Abraham, I want you to follow me. And the far that you see, I'll give you that land. And the Bible says Abraham looked and God gave him up to the far that he saw. And now situation come, if you remember, in times of Joseph and the father of Joseph, now he had, there was a hunger in the land. And they moved out of Canaan, the original land, and Joseph was already sold into Egypt. And they left the inheritance land, they moved to Egypt, and they stayed there. Now God is taking them back now to their original inheritance. He is restoring them back to where they were supposed to be, a land flowing with milk and honey. I have a message for someone. God is taking you back this year to where you are supposed to operate. The ground that you are supposed to operate in, God is taking you back. The levels that God intended for you, they are coming back this year. So God is telling Moses, I want you to go to Egypt, tell Pharaoh to let my people go. And I want to tell Pharaohs tonight, I want to tell those demons tonight, they have made you comfortable. They have made us assume this is the way we are supposed to be. But I won't tell them tonight. Go in Jesus' name. So he is restoring them back to where they are supposed to be. They lost the glow. And now, for them to come back, it's a process. They will not just jump back to their land. In the book of Samuel, we read, David left Ziklag. And the Bible says when they left Ziklag, the enemy came in. The same scenario. And when the enemy came in, he stole all their inheritance. He stole all their possession. He stole all what belonged to them and he left with it. Before we go to see how to regain the lost ground and restoring back what the enemy has stolen, I want you to know there are factors that contribute and that happen that we lose these grounds. They are contributing factors. Now, if you look to the book of Genesis, the Bible says they left their original land. Most of the time, we leave our position. God has called you in praise and worship, but because of situation, because of this, because of that, we move out of our position. I want you to know something. The calling of God and the supply of God and the protection of God is in your calling. God will supply, you said, where there is the calling. He told Elisha, I want you to go to Horeb. There I'll set a lampstand. It is where he has set you. Your supply is there. If he said you to praise and worship, In Empowerment Church, believe me not, that is where you shall be empowered. That is where your boost is. It may look like if it's cold, but it's where you are called. Come on, touch your neighbor, tell your neighbor, am I speaking to you? It is in your calling. In all this situation, someone had left their position. They have moved out of their position. They have left the calling that God had called them. Listen to me. Stay there until God says otherwise. It doesn't look okay. Yes, but God, you want me here. Number two, they were disconnected. Every time you disconnect yourself with the supply, listen to this. In every spiritual setting, there is what is called the apostolic mantle, and from there, God ordained it for you to be blessed. That mantle shall supply and bless you to the rest of your life. And how far you go depends on the apostolic mantle that you are submitted in and where God wants you to be. And most of the time, we are disconnected from the apostolic mantle. We may be here, but we are disconnected. You may be seated down, but you are disconnected. Come on, greet your neighbor, tell your neighbor, are you connected or are you disconnected? David disconnected himself from the Lord. And now he is coming back. And when he comes back, he found the wives, the children, everything he can call himself is gone. You know, God, I work overtime. I have to do this. You understand. But in other words, you are so much disconnected, you don't understand. And I don't want to go deep to that. But I want you to look at some ways to gain back what has been lost. Number one, in verse 7 in the book of Samuel, the Bible says, David called the prophet and he asked for ephod. And the Bible says, David seek of the Lord. Will I go? Will I not go? Or what will I do? Number one, seek of the Lord. Hear from the Lord. Lord, I lost this, but I need a word from you. I need something. I need a word. I need something from you. Before I engage myself back. Lord, I lost my family. And it's gone. Things are like this. But God, in this situation, you see it, speak to me. How many knows God speak to us? God give us direction. God, you come and guide us. For the Bible says, you shall hear a voice behind you telling you this is the way. In anywhere you are gaining back, you need a word from God. It is that word from God. When you start moving and you are charged, you shall look back and say, God, you spoke to me. I'm following your word. I heard it from you. It is not only scriptural word, but I'm talking about telema word. You know that you know that you know you have heard from God. You have that thing within you. When people tell you, do you know what you are doing? I know within me, my flesh, my spirit tells me, witness within me, something that is undeniable. I have a word from God. If you read the scripture there, everybody had left. Actually, they wanted to stone David. But David heard from God. Any word from God, one word from God will give you 90% victory in whatever you are getting back. The word of the Lord. I want to do this, but how much time do you spend seeking the word of the Lord? I know I want to gain some grounds. I want to get back what has been lost. But Lord, I want to hear a word from you. I want to know what next. I need that revelation. I need that strategy. I need a word from God. Touch your neighbor, tell your neighbor, you need to hear from God. Come on, shake them a little bit. And I have a message for you. No matter where we are, God has not stopped speaking. He is still speaking today. Can I go deeper? No matter how much we have messed, God still is speaking. The enemy will come and tell you, you know you have done this and this, and now you are telling God to speak to you. God cannot speak to you. That is the time God is so much ready to speak to you and come and tell you, I'm still with you. You get lost, you are away from me, but now I'm taking you back. You are coming back. I'm speaking a word to you. The word of the Lord. Break the cinders of Lebanon. It is powerful on its own effect. God will speak to you. And I want this to get light deep inside you. That God will speak to you. Tell yourself, God, you speak to me. Look at God and tell God, I'm waiting from you. I need your word. I need to hear from you. Number two. When you hear from God, the next thing is to plan. There are some clouds that has been lost. You need to plan. The Bible says, commit your plans unto the Lord, and he shall make them come to pass. Most of the time when God speaks to you, he'll give you a plan. So when you are planning, you are not planning your plan, you are planning the plan of God. So you work out the plan of God. You strategize the plan of God. So by this time, the enemy has gone with everything. But you not just go and take it. They need a plan to take back what has been lost. There could be a short term, a long term, mid term, or whatever. But God will give you a plan. I remember one time, I had a friend of mine and the wife, he came back, the wife have gone with the kids and all that and all that. And the guy loved God and we wanted to go and just bring back the wife and just restore this family. And we started by praying. We prayed. And we felt it's time to go. And God said, no, don't go to their family. In fact, God spoke to this guy to go somewhere in the market, you know, like the way you Timela, and the guy was just standing there. Just stand there And the wife was in the market, just come past, and like, okay. And they have tried to speak, they have tried to join themselves together, nothing was working. And the guy is standing there. And they already come, holding the kyodo, and like, okay, what are you doing here? Are you crazy? And like, no, I'm not crazy, I'm just standing there. Okay. And the conversation started there, in a crazy way, in an awkward way, the plan of the Lord. He knows where to position you. He knows the direction to take. He knows how to go. He knows where to turn. The plan of the Lord. Even in our ministries, in our callings, in our giftings, we need the plan of the Lord. We need to hear a word. I'll not do whatever everybody is doing. But Lord, give me a plan. Give me a strategy. Give me a way out. The plan of the Lord. Number three, prepare to fight. 101% of your claiming back, you have to fight for it. I'll repeat again. 150% chances you fight the enemy. The Bible says, when they went away, the enemy had taken everything. In the book of Exodus, if you look at the Bible, you see something there. You understand, when they left the land, it was not left vacant. Somebody else occupied the land. And now they are coming back, and God is telling them, I'm giving you land. I'm restoring you back to your original land. A land full of Jebusite. In other words, when you left, somebody else occupied your inheritance and now they are enjoying it. And for you to take it back, you have to fight the enemies. Though I'll give you victory, you have to fight and take the enemy out and take back what belongs to you. Be ready to fight. The Bible says, for we are fighting against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers. There are instances in the situation, in our inheritance, where things you look so normal. They look like they are supposed to be like that, but they are dominated by principalities and powers. Listen to this. God do not give stories about people fighting in the Bible if he is not portraying a spiritual picture. God is not a movie writer that you liked a movie of Joshua going to fight the Jebusite and Canaanite and trying to show you how they fought. He was not trying to imitate Hollywood. God will always show you this is the physical things, and when you see them, you understand what is happening in the spirit. You understand now there is war in Iraq, and these are gloves that they were worn by the American soldiers. But when they left, ISIS came. And now, they are reclaiming back what they lost. A physical war showing you what is happening in the spirit. Don't tell me these guys, they are doing whatever they are doing by their own strength. This is a demonic force holding them, territorial spirit making them feel and good about it. That is why they are operating that. In other words, this war is more spiritual than physical. There is nobody in his own human mind. You do whatever they are doing. It is a territorial spirit holding those areas, holding these people and making them think like that. If you go to a certain area, you see people, they have a certain level of thought line. They are not thinking that because they want. I had another research From KLIA, I listened to 90.1 a lot because of their documentary and all that. And there was a program in Chicago, in this poor neighborhood. And they were saying, the people who are in welfare in that neighborhood, they remove them, take them to another neighborhood. Don't give them something, give them a house for 3 months, they take on their own. They start moving, they start doing good. But when they are in that neighborhood, you try to give them anything, you try to help them, they can't. That tells me, when you remove them from this territorial spirit and they are free from it, they excel. That can show you some geographical areas, they are ruled by territorial spirits. And the way people think and act, it is not by their own strength. They are demonic forces that they are engineered to work in that. That is why the Bible is saying, for we do not fight against flesh and blood, but we fight against principalities and powers and the rulers of darkness in heavenly realm. So it's not what people want. Now, listen, if you see what is happening here in Dallas, a lot of things happening even among us Kenyans, you may understand. Some of us, we don't know what is happening, or we may not even understand, or we may be caught inside it, but there are some forces behind it. There are some ethnic forces. They are sent to deal with a certain ethnic group. Others, they are territorial spirit. Others, they are said to deal with a certain race. And for you to liberate that race, you have to deal with what is holding them that you can set them free. Come on. Are you in the church?
Yes.
Just tap your neighbor and tell your neighbor, are you here? And now, these people in Iraq, they are trying to gain back what has been lost. And they will not just go and take it. They have to fight for it. The Bible says God is a man of war. Jehovah is his name. He anointed my fingers for war. Listen to me. You are anointed to fight. You are anointed to wage war. When you came to salvation, you never came on a holiday camp. You came in a battlefield. The enemy is targeting you every day and trying to make you comfortable that you don't fight. There are some situations the enemy may like you to be. Number one, it is when you just become ignorant of everything. He come, he do this, you say, you know, it's okay. You know, things are just happening. You're just okay with it. The second instance is where he make you so much involved with him. Every time you see a fly flying, you see the demon. You fight the demon all aloud. You go to Acacia, you fight every single demon. You see a flower withering, you see that you demon of withering flowers. And number three, it is where you may get the guidance of God and fight the good fight of faith. You understand your war. You understand where you are fighting. You understand your enemy. You go and you engage the enemy. That is why we started by hearing the word of the Lord, identifying our battlegrounds. And we fight a good war of faith. Listen to me. Every time you walk with God, you understand what is happening in your life. You understand when you go to knock the door, you understand which force are closing the door. You got to do that application. If they say no, you understand. Is this God? Because there are some instances, things will not work out. Because number one, God does want them to work out for you. It is not yet time. Or another instance is the enemy closing that door. And maybe even you. So there are three levels whereby the door may be closed. The enemy may close the door, God may close the door, or you may close the door yourself. And when you walk with God, you understand, why is this door closed? It is God, is it me, or is it the enemy? If it's God, God doesn't want it to go through, you ask God, what is going on? If it is you, maybe it's your unbelief. It is some things that are happening in your life. It is not your faith that is not up to that level. Things doesn't work out. Or maybe it is the enemy. And you look at the enemy light on the eyes and tell the devil, listen to me, Satan, enough is enough. Get out. The Bible says, I have given you power and authority to tread upon scorpion. And listen to me, Christian. We are anointed for war. We have the power and authority against the powers of darkness, against the forces of hell. And when the enemy stand on against our way, we can tell the enemy, we have the power and authority in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, David pursued the enemy. And where we led, he saw the enemy on the other side. And they fought the battle. And that takes me to another point. Be aggressive. Wars are not fought by cowards. The Bible says, since the time of John the Baptist, the kingdom of God suffereth violence, and the violent shall take it by force. Yes, you are fighting, but it's not a coward war. I bite demon. I bite you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. Do you know some of the demons, they need you to shout to them because they pretend they don't hear? Where did I found it? I saw it with Jesus. When he was casting these demons, he shouted at them, come out! If they pretended with Jesus, I need to shout to them more. You come to church, you are biting the demon. I bite those demons. God, take them away from me. God, I pray. Listen to me. They will not go somewhere. They will look at you. Oh, okay, continue. But you need to get somewhere. You get viral and tell the enemy, in the name of Jesus, you have to understand the material I'm made of. I'm redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus. And I'm coming to you, Satan. I fight you. I command you to get out of this situation in the name of Jesus. The violent shall take it by force. You woke up middle of the night and tell the enemy, come on, you thought I'm asleep, I'm awake. You went through that sitting room. You came to the kitchen, you are not going anywhere else. Come on, get out of this place. You open the doors, the windows, everywhere is open. Satan, come out. Amen. The violent shall take it by force. I believe there are still many people who are lost in this city, but you not take them cowardly. The Bible says we snatch them from the gates of hell. And the Bible says if the people of this world don't get them, that means that gods of this world now, the principalities, they have blinded their eyes. So we need to break that force and open their eyes that they can see. It is not coward people that are going to win the city. It is the violent who shall take it by force. The next level, it is not the normal level. It is the violent who shall take it by force.
or we just be coward, be average, we remain there for 20 years. But when we become violent, violent people are not comfortable to everybody. And Jesus came and said, the violent shall take it by force. I want us to do something tonight because I don't intend to preach more. I want us to do something. The Bible says God is a man of war. Jehovah is his name. I want us to focus to him and tell him, baptize me tonight with a warrior anointing. Warriors, they fight. They engage war. They break the wall. Now look at the Bible. God spoke to David and he anointed him and gave him the kingdom. But the Bible says when David was about to fight the king, to become the king, he has to fight. It is God who has spoken. He was anointed, but he has to fight for his kingdom. What about us? Anywhere in the Bible, there is war. And the closer we are becoming to one the end, to one the rapture, the more we have to fight. Because even those demons, they could not be released. Satan know this is the time. The special force of the enemy, they are coming. We have to release our special power now and fight the battle. I want you to stand up on your two feet. I want you to open your mouth and just tell God, may you anoint me with anointing of war. In the name of Jesus, we pray for warrior anointing, oh God, upon every member of this church, upon every person in this place, oh God. Anoint us with warrior anointing in the name of Jesus. Lord, we ask of the warrior anointing right now, in the name of Jesus. Let your power flow, oh God. Let your power flow, oh God. Let your power flow in the name of Jesus. Rebo sheko robo zaya rebo kanta mahande bohonta re mahanda reko robo zoya rebo zoya rebe shaka rababo zaya rababo zaya para mahande woseka rebo zoya rebe shanda re oh ya kara mahanda rabazaya rababo zaya rababo zaya manda rababo zaya rebe shanda rababo zaya rababo zaya rababo zaya rabashanda. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. Let your power flow. Let your power touch us, oh God. In the name of Jesus Christ. Let your power flow, oh God. Let your anointing, oh God. The anointing of warrior in the name of Jesus. Warrior anointing, oh God. Warrior anointing, oh God. In the name of Jesus. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. Holy Spirit, move. Holy Spirit, move. In the name of Jesus. Touch your people now. Touch your people now. Touch your people now. In the name of Jesus, we declare a special motivation upon their lives. In the name of Jesus, we declare, oh God, a force of motivation. Manda ramazaya ramahanda rababuzaya rererererere. Rinda rabuzoya rabuzoya rabeshoka rababuzaya. Parabazaya rababuzaya rabeshanda rererererere. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Romo shanda ramamamazaya rababuzaya. Ropo zika mahanto robozoya rebesheka rababuzoya. Ripo zoya rebeshanda rababuzaya 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 rababuzaya. Parabazoya rebesheka rababuzaya rabazaya rererere. Rikaramamuzaya rebashanda rababuzaya. In the name of Jesus. Lift up your hands before God. Say, Father, in Jesus' name, I seek of your fresh anointing. The anointing of warrior. A war anointing. In the name of Jesus, empower me to fight in Jesus' name. Amen.